Let me invite you to grab a seat. And y'all aren't used to me doing this, sitting down. It's not because my back hurts or anything, but it's because it's Christmas Day and we have our kids in the service. And I would actually like to invite as many of you to come over here and sit with me as you as want. I mean, if you all want to come over here and sit, you can just kind of gather around right here. That's good. Good job. If any of the adults want to come and sit, you can too. I mean, if you're like a kid at heart, you can come and sit and it'll be just fine. But I can't promise that I'll have something for you if you're an adult. Hey, buddy. All right. Hey, thank you guys for hanging out with us today. I'm really glad that you're here in the service. Moms and dads, thanks for coming today. Thanks for everyone who... Uh-oh. Something just popped. Oh, no. There it goes. It's back on. We're good. I don't know. It probably was a balloon. Yeah, we keep balloons behind the curtain over there. Just in case it's a party. Yeah. All right. Are y'all ready? I have some questions that I want to ask you. And I want you to answer out loud. So I'm actually giving you permission to talk out loud in church service. Your parents ever tell you, hey, be quiet, you're in church, you shouldn't be talking? You ever get told that? Be quiet or don't run in church, your parents tell you that. I'm okay with all of that, by the way, as long as it's out there and not up here on the by the expensive equipment. But I have some questions I want to ask you. I want to give you some options, and I want you to tell me which one you'd rather have. Okay, are y'all listening? So I'm going to give you some options. I want you to tell me which one you'd rather have. First one. If I promise you that I will give you a candy cane in 5 minutes, if you listen very carefully, would you rather have that?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me give you the other option. That might not be the best option. Or would you rather if I said, I promise I will give you $100 if you wait 1 week? Which would you rather have? Would you who would rather have a candy cane if you wait 5 minutes? We got some candy people up here. Who would rather have $100 if you wait a week? Okay, that's the majority. Now, I don't have $100 that I'm going to give you, okay? Don't get excited. I'm not giving you $100. It's just for an example, okay? All right, now I have my next question is like this. Listen carefully now. I'm going to give you two choices. If I tell you that I promise I will give you $100... if you wait 1 week, would you rather have that? Or if I said, I promise I'll give you $500 if you wait 1 month? Which one? Who would rather have $100 if you wait a week? Who would rather have $500 if you wait a month? Yeah, we got families like, hey, show us the money over here. Okay, all right, I have one more. One more. If I say, I'll give you $500 if you wait 1 month. Or if I say, I promise I'll give you $1 million if you wait 1 year. Who would rather have $500 if you wait a month? Who would rather have $1 million if you wait a year? Okay, this worked so well. Y'all gave all the answers that I was hoping you would give. I can't do this again until next year because that's all the questions I got. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. Why would you rather have $100 than a candy cane? Someone tell me.
Because it's more money and you can just buy a jillion candy
canes. You can buy a jillion candy canes with $100, all right? Why would you... Huh?
I would buy a million candy canes.
A million candy canes. Do they even make that many?
Yeah.
Okay. So, let me ask you another one. Why would you rather have $500 than $100? Because you could buy even more than that. And you could buy whatever else probably
like
that you wanted.
Motorcycle.
Yes.
Like a motorcycle.
Like a motorcycle?
Yeah, you can also buy a biggest fridge ever.
Yeah. If you can find a motorcycle for $500, let me know if it works. All right, we'll ask one last one. Why would you rather have $1 million than $500?
Because it's more candy canes.
and everything. And everything. You want $1 million. Okay. Me too. Yes. All right. So we all agree that we would rather have money than a candy cane, and more money than less money, and like $1 million compared to a candy cane, right? All right. Why? Because the reason that we are that way is because the value of the gifts makes the gift worth waiting for, right? If the gift is more valuable, we're willing to wait longer to get it. Like if I said I'll give you $500 in a month or $1 million in a year, we're willing to wait a whole year in order to get that $1 million because we know that the $1 million is way more, worth way more than the $5, right? You all agree with me on that? It's worth waiting longer for a better gift. Okay, now I do have a gift for you, and it's not $1 million or it's not even $5, but I do have some candy canes for you. Because I want you to remember this. So everyone take one.
Guys, take one. One per person.
One. No, grab one. Make sure. Did everyone get one? Now, you guys can go back. You can go back and sit with your parents if you got a candy cane. Did you need to get one for Jack?
I will get one for him.
Here. Did everybody get one that wanted one? Let the adults have one. And if any of you adults want one, you can have one in a little bit. Yeah. Or need one, yes. Now, why would I talk about candy canes and $100 and $500 and $1 million on the Sunday when we celebrate the birth of Jesus? Why would I do that? Because the birth of Jesus is kind of like waiting a year for the promise of $1 million. Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph a little over 2,000 years ago. Now that's a very, very long time ago. But before Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, God had promised that he would send Jesus. And the promise that God was going to send Jesus goes way back before he was born, even further than the 9 or the 10 months before he was born, when the angel appeared to Mary and to Joseph and said, "Hey, you're going to have this baby. You're going to call him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins." The promise of the birth of Jesus goes back even further than that. And it goes back even further than a year or 10 years or 100 years. And it even goes back further than 500 years or 1,000 years or 5,000 years. The promise of Jesus' birth goes all the way back to what the Bible calls the Garden of Eden. Now, we don't know the exact date when this would have happened, but we know that it was thousands of years before Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph. In the Garden of Eden, sometime after God created everything, after he created the stars and the planets and the galaxies in the earth, after he made all that, he created two people and he put them in the Garden of Eden. Does anyone know their names? Any kids? What were their names? Tell me. Say it. Adam and Eve, right? So God created everything, and then he created this garden and he put Adam and Eve in the garden. And God gave them everything that they needed to take care of and be in the garden. And he took care of all of their needs. But he also did one other thing. Do y'all remember what God did? He gave them one rule. Do y'all remember this? Do not sin. That's exactly right. God gave them one rule. And what happened? They broke the rule when Satan tempted them. And when they broke that rule, at that moment, they became sinners. And God punished them for their disobedience to his rule. They had to leave the garden, and the rest of their lives would be difficult because of their sin against God. And the result would be that they would increase in sin, and that they would have kids who would be sinners. And then the result of that would be that every single person born since Adam and Eve would also be sinners. And that includes me. It includes you. It includes your mom and your dad, even your grandparents. We are all born with a sinful nature. We say bad things, we do bad things, and we think bad things. And this was all the result of Adam and Eve sinning against God, disobeying his command when they were in the garden. But at the same time that God was telling Adam and Eve that they would be punished for their sin against him, for disobeying his commands, God also made a promise. But the promise that God made was better than a candy cane. It was better than $100. It was better than $500. And the promise that God made Adam and Eve was even better than $1 million. Can you imagine? We can't even think that there's anything better than getting $1 million. Like to us, that would be like the greatest gift that we could ever think of. But the promise that God made in the garden was even better than $1 million. The promise that God made in the Garden of Eden when he was telling Adam and Eve that they would be punished for their sin against God, for their disobedience to God, sounded like this. This is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Listen to this. It says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. And on your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'" Now God is saying this to the serpent, to Satan, but Adam and Eve would have been close enough likely that they would have heard it. Now when we read that, when we read just those words, it doesn't sound like much to us, and it can maybe even sound confusing. But I want you to listen very carefully one more time to verse 15, Genesis 3:15. Listen carefully. God is saying to this serpent, to Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, offspring means something that is produced from something else of the same kind. Cows have baby cows, and the baby cows are called the offspring of the cows. Birds have baby birds, and the baby birds are the offspring of the birds. And here, God says to Satan that from the woman Eve, there would come an offspring of hers. Now listen, he says that this offspring would bruise the head of Satan, but that offspring of Eve would have his own heel bruised by Satan. Now this is sounding kind of strange. What would we make of this? Notice about this offspring, it's not just a general offspring. God says he. Do you see that? It says he will do this to you, and you will do this to him. So it's not just a general baby, but it's a specific one. So it's a boy, it's a he. And so this boy would eventually grow up to be a man. And this offspring of Eve would bruise the head of Satan. And then it says, and Satan would bruise the heel of this man. Now tell me about a bruise. Kids, I saw someone with a bruise earlier. One of y'all had a bruise. We've all had bruises before. When you get hurt, that's an excellent answer. That's exactly what I was looking for. Y'all are doing really well today. We've had bruises. What causes bruises? A bump or a punch or a slap, some kind of pain inflicted on your body, and that causes you to be bruised. So in this exchange, it was going to happen. God says that he is going to cause it, and in that exchange, it would be between Satan and this offspring of Eve, and the exchange would bring bruises. The bruises would happen between Satan and this man, this offspring that she was going to have, and it would bring pain both to Satan and to this offspring of Eve. I want to teach you a word and what we call this here. Some of you may have heard this word before, some of you may have not, but I'm going to teach you a word. This promise in Genesis 3, verses 14 and 15, when we talk about terms of theology, the word is pronounced proto-evangelium or proto-evangelion. You ever heard that word before?
No.
Anyone know that word? We have a seminary student who's heard that word before in here, who's also my wife. She's studied that word. But in theology, we call this the proto-evangelium or the proto-evangelion. Now, that is a fancy word, and we translate it and take it to mean the first gospel. So we understand the words of Genesis 3:15 to be God's first promise that he would send a person who would destroy, who would undo, and who would bruise Satan, who would put an end to what Satan had been doing for thousands of years, which was tempting people to sin. And the result of that bruising would be putting an end to death and hell and the wrath of God. So what do we call the promise that God made in Genesis 3:15? Say that word with me. Proto-evangelium or proto-evangelion. Either way you prefer to pronounce it is fine. So we call that here in Genesis 3:15, and it means the first gospel. Now, this promise was made thousands of years before Jesus was born. And if we skip ahead now in the story to after Jesus was born, after he lived his life, after he died his death on the cross, and after he was raised from the dead. So thousands and thousands of years after the promise was made, we skip ahead to Jesus' life. After he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, we read this in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. This is written by one of Jesus' closest friends. Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. See if it sounds kind of like Genesis chapter 3 that we just read. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, what do we call Jesus? We call him the Christ, but we also call him the Son of God. And what did Jesus' friend write about him here in 1 John chapter 3? That he appeared, that Jesus appeared, that he was born, that he lived his life, he went to the cross, rose back again, to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy the works of Satan. So when Jesus came to earth, when he was born, we celebrate his birth, all of that happened. And we skip ahead and we celebrate his life and his death and his resurrection. All that happened because Jesus was the one that God had promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus was the one, the offspring of Eve, who by his life, death, and resurrection would crush the head of Satan, who would destroy death, which is one of the effects of sin. And how would Jesus do that? How would he destroy this work of Satan? By being, what happens when you get hurt? You get, by being bruised. Just like God said in Genesis 3, Jesus went through whippings, through beatings, through having his beard pulled out, through being slapped and punched all over his body, by being hung on the cross with the nails in his hands and his feet. Don't you think he got some bruises from that? Of course he did. He was bruised more than anyone you could ever imagine. Yes, very, very badly. And why did he go through this? Why did Jesus go through that on the cross? For my sin, for my sin, for your sin, and for all the sins of all the people who would trust in him as their Lord and as their Savior and as their King. Jesus did all that to destroy Satan and the effects of what he does to us, which is tempting us to sin, which results ultimately in death and destruction that comes from that sin. And this, what we call this, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was first promised by God thousands of years before it actually happened, all the way back in Genesis 3. And you know what? Jesus, what he did for us in his life, in his death, in his resurrection, y'all, children, moms and dads, grandparents, that is worth more than a candy cane. It is worth more than a lifetime supply of candy canes. It's worth more than $100 or $500 or $1 million or $10 million or even $10 billion. Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us, is the most valuable thing that exists in all the universe. And so my plea for us today, for everyone here, everyone watching online, my plea is to believe in Jesus Christ, to receive the forgiveness of sin, the salvation from the wrath of God, the promise of everlasting life with God in heaven forever. Believe the gospel if you've never believed it, because it has not changed. And if you have believed, if you're like, I've done that, my plea to you would be to treasure Jesus Christ more than you treasure anything else in the world. And if you have kids or grandkids, make sure that they know that you treasure Jesus Christ more than anything else in the world. And make sure, if you have kids or grandkids, that you are helping to point the affections of their hearts and their minds to things that are eternally significant, to things that will matter after the world ends, things that will matter after Christmas ends, things that will matter after Amazon Smile ceases to exist, to things that will matter forever. Specifically, tune the affections of your kids' hearts to Jesus Christ and to him and to service to his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, it's such an incredible privilege, honor to get together with your people week in and week out to hear your word proclaimed. Father, it was different today for me. But Father, I pray that it's been meaningful to the children in the room, to the parents and the grandparents and people watching online. Father, that you would help us today and tomorrow and next week and 6 months from now and 6 years from now to remember the eternal significance of not just the birth of Jesus, but the gospel of Jesus. That you promised thousands of years before he was born, that you fulfilled in your time, in your way, and according to your faithfulness and your never-failing word. Father, that you would increase our hope and our trust in you. Father, that when our faith is lacking or fading, that you would remind us of your word and the truths of the gospel. Father, that when we feel at the end of a day that we just can't keep believing because it just seems unbelievable or because we've had such a bad day, that you would work in us by your Holy Spirit to refresh and renew us. And Father, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and mouths to speak the good news of your gospel to other people around us, to family, friends, co-workers, our children. Father, that our children would see a greater affection in us for you than anything else in the world. And then, Father, that the day that we see you will not be a day that causes fear, but that it would be a day that causes peace. Not because of all the good things that we've done, but because of the good, perfect life of Jesus, and because we have believed in him. Father, help us to be people who love your gospel and who love the God of the gospel. You, our Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who you've given to us. I pray these things in Jesus' name.